at your life. Your sweet wife won't catch more fish than you. Many fish bite if you got coupe, yeah. Here's a little tip I'd like to relate. Many fish bite if you got coupe, yeah. I'ma go fishing, my baby going fishing, I'm going fishing too.
Welcome back to the Hard Water Show. It is Season 2, Episode 11. It's the first week in March of the endless, what I'm calling the endless winter. It's much below zero again here today in Iowa, 15 below. I don't know how cold it is where you are, Jeff, but it's miserably cold here again.
Oh, yeah. Minus 15. It's cold.
You can find us anywhere podcasts are, including Spotify. We're also active, reasonably active on social media, Instagram and Facebook. We do not tweet, Twitter, or chirp. You can find us on our email at hardwatershow@gmail.com, and we have a website. We have all sorts of stuff for you on our website, including a spot to order our lovely gear. You can get sweatshirts, and there's always sales going on, but you have to check in to see if that's happening. And every time you check in, you should buy something.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff, for agreeing. We had also mentioned that we do appreciate all the feedback and the stories that we get and your fishing reports. We always love to read them. And even if we don't get back to you right away or we don't mention you on the podcast, we sure do appreciate you sending in all your stuff and your stories, and it's awesome. And it just keeps me going on doing this. So keep doing it. It's good stuff.
Yes.
Good. Jeff's a man of many words tonight. So, Jeff, let's move on. What are you drinking tonight?
So, I have something new. I have a Modelo Especial.
Oh, I had that.
Or Especial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Golden, full-flavored, Pilsner-style lager with a clean, crisp finish, brewed in Mexico. This is part of my protest, because I was in Mexico in November, of this winter that will never end. It is minus 15. There is so much snow outside. It's crazy. And I'm having a Mexican beer.
Carry on.
So here we go.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That was a great noise. That was a great open. That was good.
I'm telling you, this can, yeah. Jay, it is like, it feels heftier and bigger than a normal can. I don't know if they make them thicker cans in Mexico or what, but it feels really good.
It could be all like the lead in the water.
Maybe.
Speaking of water, I am currently on call, so I'm having pure grade A tap water from the Iowa aquifer with ice.
High quality H2O, as the water boy would say.
Can you hear the ice in the glass? That's all I got right there. High quality H2O. I don't think it's high quality. It's tap water. I even forgot to use the filtered stuff. It's even got the chlorine in it.
What the heck? You got to kill some things.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Never hurts. So, Jeff, we're going to talk about...
Tonight we're talking about fishing styles. So I got this idea from an article about somebody that said they don't use a flasher anymore, that they only use a camera. And that's kind of foreign to me. But I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, there are a lot of different fishing styles, ice fishing styles. It'd be interesting just to kind of talk about the different ones. And there's reasons to use each one, right? Time of year and just what you have available. So I went in everything from the 5-gallon bucket to tip-up fishing to wheelhouse to portable. We saw snow bear fishing
this year.
I'm really
into those snow bears. I've been Googling the crap out of those things.
Snowmobile, I called this the Dave Genn style, but the snowmobile fishing. And then some talk about portable versus mobile and what the differences are. So,
okay, wow, that's actually, you could do an episode on each one of those things. So we're going to be
and
here
we probably
for
will
what,
at
like
some point.
Another 2 hours, which is cool. I mean, I'll have to go get more water in my glass, but... and maybe some coffee at some point, but I'll pull through.
We have drank water and coffee on the show, so none of that would be new.
No. So let's see. I'm looking at your notes here, and you have to say something about moving on as a drinking game. Tell me about that. What's that? Have they picked? Someone's picked up on a tick that we have.
Yeah. So Aaron told me that there's two things we do quite a bit, where we say, moving on, time to move on. We need to stay on topic. We say that quite a bit. And also, foreshadowing recently has entered into our show. If you were going to drink water or whatever beverage you want, you could start a game about that on the podcast.
So how often we use a particular phrase?
Yeah. There's another podcast that I know about that I listen to a lot. It's called Everyday Driver. It's one of my favorite podcasts because I'm also a car guy along with a fishing guy. I really enjoy that, and they have a similar game. They use the word proclivity, which sounds like a word you would use.
I could work that in, but I hate to steal their word, so we won't.
No, I don't think they were stealing their words. I'm just saying this is not a unique to our podcast. Other people do this.
Yeah.
So other people have a proclivity to using a word very often. Or
particular
phrases
tend to sneak into one's vernacular on a regular basis.
Luckily, I edit out a lot of the ands and ums, so you don't have to hear as many.
Yeah,
of
at least it's not a game about how often we say and or anything like that. So that of all the things, that's probably a better one. But we do say moving on a lot. I think that might be because we're both used to dealing with small children, and you tell kids that all the time. Move on, come on, let's get back on track. And so we do that to each other to keep.
Yeah.
And we're not in the same room, so we need those cues. So, but it would be a good drinking
Absolutely.
Game, but I don't think you would survive.
Probably not.
You might want to use some sort of really low alcohol content liqueur for that particular game.
Okay, so I'm going to go off subject here for a minute.
I think we need to get back on track, but go on.
All right. So I went to this really cool place today. There was a little happy hour. It was actually for the American Heart Association, so it was a good benefit, right? But it was at this distillery. So it's kind of like a brew house, but not brewing. It's distillery. So they had like craft liqueurs.
Sure.
I don't know what you would call it. I'm not even sure what I had, but it was really good. I think it was an old fashioned. It had like an orange peel and some little things in it. It was really good. And I'd never been to these craft distilleries, but it was fun. But you can get like one, right? I mean,
yeah. We went to one of those out in Portland, Maine, when we were out there, my wife and I. And we were Ubering it around, so that was good. But you could get samples, like little half shots. As samples, which was good before you committed to like the full $10 drink. So that was, which was good. We did a lot of samples because, you know, we're from Iowa. A $10 shot down here will get you half the bottle.
Yeah. Well, today my drink was kind of free, but I did give to the American Heart Association.
Good for you.
So it wasn't exactly free, right? But anyways, moving on.
Moving on. There it is. It just has to be there. We need something. Either that or we need a set of gongs. We can just ring the gong whenever it's time to move on.
So when you're in Maine, you're by a big body of water, right, Jay?
An ocean. There was an ocean there. Yeah. Yes.
I don't think we're going to be fishing in an ocean anytime soon, but we might be fishing in a large body of water. So I had to add some foreshadowing.
Some foreshadowing? Oh, my goodness. Yes, I hope this comes to fruition. And we're not even going to tell people about it. They can just wonder, and if it never happens, they'll just always wonder.
Yeah, it'll be like the whodunit, the cliffhanger. All right. So I don't want to say moving on, but you know, now we're into this glut.
I know, now it's
on,
there. So. It's in the fort you brought. It's sitting there all the time. Okay, so Sean and Dave, we want to mention them again. Coming on our last show, that was awesome. Really enjoyed having them guys on the show, and we had such a good trip to Devil's Lake. I'm still pondering that trip and want to get back out there. It was such a good time,
for sure. Yeah, and we had some requests that maybe we should have them more often. They enjoyed the show. You know, I don't know if it's something we do every week, but maybe we'll have them on again this year or for sure.
Was it anybody
next year,
beyond those two guys that requested to have them on?
I know, you wouldn't think so, right?
Like we got email that said put them guys on the show.
Okay, it might have been more word of mouth.
Was
than
it like
email,
Kathy?
It was not
and,
from them.
And Jackie.
It was Aaron.
It was Aaron.
Yeah, Kathy. Yeah.
Kathy and Jackie. No, it was Aaron. Yeah. Huh. All right. Well, yeah, we'll take it under advice.
So she said it was good. Yeah. So you guys can send us some email. Tell us how you liked that episode. It was different than ones we've done before, so just give us some feedback. If you'd like to hear more episodes like that, just email us.
Yeah.
So I saw this. This was a crazy thing, and this is just life happens. I'm driving home, and there's a lake by my drive home, Lake Independence. I mean, I don't know. I don't fish there, but usually. But so I'm driving down the road, and the road's close to the boat access, and I see this Ford Ranger towing what I thought was a trailer, like a homemade wheelhouse, and they were going like 20 miles an hour on the shoulder. And if you're this person, hey, send us an email and tell us about it. But so all of a sudden it kind of goes all over the road, and I'm like, what is up with that trailer? It's kind of low to the ground. And I look over, it has no tires. They're just dragging a skid house down the road at like 20 miles an hour.
Well, you know, I mean, why not?
It was quite the sight. I don't know. I don't know if there's rules for that, but I'm sure this thing shouldn't have been on the road. But
should a Ford Ranger be on the road anymore either? They haven't made those things in like 20 years.
No, they're making them again this year. Brand new.
But was that a new Ford Ranger, Jeff?
No, this was not. No.
So given Ford Ranger's mechanical properties and Minnesota salt and winters, should that Ford Ranger have any more business being on the road than that skid house?
I don't know. Only the Chevy guy says this kind of stuff.
True. But I'm sure I could find some information to back. Those are really rare, those old ones. You don't see them much anymore.
No.
There's a reason.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's awesome. It's Minnesota. Anything. It's like cows on the road in Iowa. It just happens.
All right, so the blizzard.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you think wheelhouses, you're at a resort. You know, and these guys got taken care of, but you think... I've been ice fishing many years, and I've never seen scenes like I saw in the last week, from Mille Lacs and from Leech Lake and from Lake of the Woods.
It was better than TV. I mean, watching all the Facebook posts about it, and it was something else. I mean, it was different because I'm sure it was quite a bit different, obviously, to be in there and going through that versus watching it. But I mean, for the most part, everybody was out by like Tuesday.
By Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, just part of it is I was thinking about it. You know, people were getting real frantic by Sunday because they wanted to leave and they couldn't leave, right? We're so dependent on like, oh my gosh, I have this schedule I have to keep in my head. And when Mother Nature gets involved, people really start making some dumb decisions. They do. And you see that on road conditions with people driving, you know, down here, even in that terrible weather, we had roads closed all over and people are out driving around like, hey, I got to get to work at McDonald's. And it's like, you don't need to go to work. I mean, maybe you do, but you know, at some point you have to make those decisions about like these folks in their wheelhouses. Did they need to leave? Like the ones that got stuck trying to get off the lake. And there they were. Ooh, it's like, why did you try to leave in the middle of the blizzard? You just needed to stay put, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and I wasn't really like, I wouldn't say I'm judging. I mean, I felt bad for those people. I know I have a wheelhouse, and I would have been pretty nervous being out there. I mean, I don't know how long my propane lasts at that temperature, but I don't know if it would last for 5 days. I mean, I have two 30-pound propane tanks, but... never been out there that long.
Yeah.
But I just was amazed. Like the one picture I saw where there was water 2 feet up on the side of an ice castle. I don't know. Chainsaws or dynamite. I'm not sure how they're getting one out.
That's what makes me. Now that would really like panic would set in for me on that deal. Because how do you get that out? You know, and once that freezes in solid like that, I was talking about that with somebody and you know, if that happened, what would you do? And the only thing I could think of, and I have no idea if this is the right answer or wrong answer, is I would pack snow around that bad boy. I'd just keep shoving snow in that water, trying to insulate it, you know, so it wouldn't freeze. You know, because that slush doesn't freeze. It's got snow on top. So just start burying that thing in snow if you can.
Yeah.
I think to keep it from freezing in. That's what I would do. And I don't, like I said, I have no idea if that's the right or wrong answer. And I never, ever, ever want to find out.
No, exactly.
Unless it's your wheelhouse.
Somebody can send us an email.
And I'll throw some snow on it, and I'll drink a beer, and I'll get my snowmobile and leave. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I saw those guys, those trucks frozen in and like, and they're driving around in like 2 feet of water on the ice. It was crazy.
Yeah. And they're still, I mean, the saga continues. They're pulling, trying to pull houses off yet. They're using skid loaders and
all kinds of stuff.
Boy, I'd hate to be in a skid loader and that goes through a pressure ridge. Holy crap. That thing would go like a rock.
I know. But I just couldn't stop watching. There was so many Armageddon looking end of days ice shack things that you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And I saw like pictures on Facebook. You'd see who owns this shack and it would be a picture of like a really nice wheelhouse just stuck out in the middle of the ice, you know, and they the resorts would pull them off and try to find who owned them. It was pretty interesting.
I tell you, these resort guys showed why you pay them $10 or $20 to use their roads. They really took care of their people out there on their roads. I mean, they really did. You just heard a lot of stories about the resort owners just working nonstop to try to get people off and make sure they were doing okay.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I do, you know, like using those resorts because they do, you know, they take care of their people and you kind of have a backup plan for your backup plan, which is important. You know, when you're out there and it's 30 below, you know, you've got your generator and your propane and your car. And then you also have a cell phone that you can call the resort and they can come help you out. You know, I mean, it's good to have those backups for backups. So
yep,
the resorts are awesome.
I would agree with that. Definitely.
All right. So let's move on to Fishing Lake Superior. So I put this out there. There was a really interesting article in Outdoor News about it's been cold enough this year to fish Lake Superior. So and you can catch lake trout, coho salmon, herring, eel pout, brown trout. It just said get out there before mid-March because the icebreakers are coming through. So I would not want to be out there if an icebreaker was out there. But
this has really piqued my interest on this fishing Lake Superior. So maybe more to come on this. Maybe not.
Maybe.
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 We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, moving on.
All right. So last Thursday, I had a really long evening and went ice fishing out on Minnetonka. I was out there with Andy, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago. I mean, I wasn't there with him, but we were in the same area. His shack was out there, too. And then also Nick from Tonka Fishing, who is a fishing guide on Lake Minnetonka, was in the area, too. And they had a road out there, and we went out there because, you know, it's really great that we have all this really thick ice, but there's so much snow out there, you really can't get out there. I mean, it's rough. I mean, we had plowed roads, and I was still worried about getting stuck with my ice shack.
I saw on a website I followed tonight, Jeff, I saw a Lake of the Woods lake plow for sale, $8,000.
Wow.
Yeah, you can throw it on the front of your
Traverse.
Throw it on the front of your Traverse and give her hell.
So we went out there. We were fishing with a, that'd be hilarious, fishing with a waxworm, tungsten jig. These were actually Fish Daddy tungsten jigs that we were fishing with. We caught a bunch of crappies. I mean, they weren't huge, but it was a fun night. And we did have Brian's underwater camera out again, which I think I've talked about before. It actually had a hookup to the TV in my ice shack, but we didn't hook it up. It was kind of I wasn't prepared to hook it up. And when I dropped it on the hole, I didn't see much, but it was kind of cool. You could see the bottom, and it was just a very silty, sandy bottom. So when you drop the camera down there, it kind of poof. You know, so you could see what was in the bottom. And you can see some bugs in the water. And I think that's why the fish were there. So,
Could you see fish?
I did not see fish. I have used it once before and saw fish, but it was really dark and I couldn't see them.
Huh.
I just saw bubbles and stuff and then the bottom.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I remember that now. I listened to that episode.
Gear. I had one gear update. I need an extension. So My Strike Master is just at the max of what I can use in my wheelhouse, which probably won't get out again this year. Maybe. Maybe if there's less snow or some ratio of snow to ice.
Maybe we could put it on Lake Superior.
Yeah. No. There's 6 inches of ice out there. They said 6 to 12, but.
Oh. Need pontoons.
Yeah, they were saying people were walking on the ice. And they said some brave soul drove a snowmobile out there, but most people were walking.
Okay.
So I've done this twice now. I have these little lights in front of each hole in my ice shack. Because I've gotten so low down with my ice auger, I have broken two of them. Because what happens is I get to the bottom of the ice, it will torque on me, and it'll whack right into where the light is, and I broke two
of them.
You
put like a grill guard over those things.
Yeah, well, I think what I need to do is get an extension, because then you'll be up higher, because, you know, I'm way down low. And then the Strike Master has a reverse, which is really handy because it shoves all the slush back down the hole.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? That works really good. But what I've figured out is occasionally it'll get really bound up, and that Strike Master is so torquey, it just whips me around. Like, I mean, it won't stop turning. I just turn instead of the ice.
Wow.
If that makes sense. Holy crap. I mean, like, there is so much power behind that thing. It just, I don't know. It's not like other ice augers I've used where they'll just stop turning if they get stuck. This turns me. So I need to get an extension.
Yeah, it sounds like that there's an easy fix to this.
Yeah.
Either gain weight or get an extension.
Or break every light in my ice shack, which I need to go fix. So
that's one option.
So, oh well. It's not ice fishing if you're not breaking something.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not.
All right. That's the only gear update I had this time.
Well, I have a dismal fishing report. I went out fishing on Saturday evening. Yeah, just for like, well, it was going to be like 3.5 hours. And then I went to my storage shed, which the door froze shut on.
Yeah, well, so I spent snowmageddon.
45 minutes chiseling the ice away from my door so I could get to my so I could get to my ice shack with a screwdriver and a hammer. And I think I probably got called into the cops like 3 times because I'm banging on a storage shed door with a screwdriver and a hammer. But I got out fishing and I didn't catch anything because I went against my own advice, Jeff.
Mm.
I just sat on a spot. I thought, I'm going to go to this spot, and I think it's a spot, and I'm going to sit here and I'll see what happens till dark, after dark. And I did that, and it was on a local reservoir, and I went to an old road where two roadbeds intersect, and I sat right on that intersection. And I thought, well, if there's walleyes here, they should come onto this roadbed into the shallows at night. And they didn't. Now, what made it even more fun is I realized that I no longer have a lighter in my ice shack. So I had no heater for like 3 hours I was out there.
Oh, that's okay. It was warm, right?
It was like two.
Two.
Like 2 degrees. I kept having.
And yours is insulated, right? Insulated shack?
No, it's not. But it's better than a bucket because it broke the wind. It was windy out, so it broke the wind. So it.
Gotcha.
It was better than nothing. Better than nothing. And my beverage did not get warm, so that was good. Got a little.
You know, Jay, if you had a buddy heater, they come with a built-in starter.
I know.
You should really get one of those. I prefer.
I will not. Why? Because they break. They break. I'm not careful enough with.
I've had mine for years.
I've had that Mr. Heater now for 5 years. And I will note that I just saw they're on sale at Menards for like $20. Those Mr. Heater cookers. I like them. That's what I'm going to use. I'm not going to shell out $100. I had a little buddy, Big Buddy, and it quit working.
Well, why didn't you?
It quit working. Mm. So I'm never going back.
I have one that works.
Ah.
Sounds like user error.
You know what'll work? I'm going to buy a 100-pack of lighters and sprinkle them all over my shack.
Just, you have like 100-pack. You don't even need a heater. I'll just
light all the Bics, tape the handles down. No, I'm not. That's not going to happen again.
How about if you use your phone? Can you just put the lighter app on there?
Yeah, that can put the little fireplace app on my phone. That'll keep me warm. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah. I suppose you just walk over and adjust your thermostat in your house, but
yeah, I'm like, I wanted a little warmer, and you've turned it up. Yeah, I mean, do you want to watch TV or listen to the radio?
You know, and this goes right into fishing styles, I think.
It does.
You know, because we're kind of at opposite ends of the fishing spectrum right now, whereas I'm in a kind of a real simple clam flip over, non-insulated, with no heater. And you're like, oh, my fish camera didn't show any fish on my TV. And I had to take off my Crocs to go hook the car back up. So you don't even unhook the car, do you?
I do.
Do you?
It doesn't work. Yeah, actually, there's a fiasco story about that. But I unhook it because it when you put it down, it still gets stuck. Like, it's in the ball of the receiver.
Oh.
Right? You drop it down, but it still kind of gets stuck in there. And then, all right, we're taking a little detour here. But so what happened last time, I dropped it down. And you always drop the front down first, because that's what you do with those wheelhouses. Drop the front to the ice. And then, so I have it disconnected from the trailer or from the car. Drop down to the ice. And the ice I'm on is bumpy, right? It's kind of, I mean, it's rough out there. I mean, it's just, there's so much snow and you don't have much of a choice. You just go where you can go. I drop the front down, hits the ice. And so then I go to the one side and you drop that halfway down. Well, on the way of doing that, it slid forward, which went underneath the car.
That doesn't sound like fun.
And that it didn't slide that much, but enough where it went underneath the car. And then what's that thing, the little where you put the lock on, that little clip that you fold down when you get it on the trailer? I don't know what it's called. You know, you put your trailer on the hitch.
Yeah, I know. It falls exactly down. What you're
The little lever the thing. Lever. I don't know what it's called.
Somehow I've blanked on the name of that particular thing as well.
Right. So it goes underneath the car, just barely, and it's all plastic under there, right? It didn't hurt anything. But it goes underneath the car, and that thing is up. So I can't get it back underneath the car because the thing is straight up and down instead of horizontal. So it's straight up and down, and I can't get it back out from underneath the car because it's straight up and down, right? So that's blocking me from getting it under the car. But I can't fold it down because when I tried to fold it down, it hits the plastic underneath the car. Oh, my God. I mean, like, you can't even make this up, right? I mean, luckily, you know, nothing got hurt. It slid under the car a little bit. So what I had to do was back up the car just enough, like an inch or two, so I could flip that lever down, and then I could pull forward and not have the trailer underneath my car.
There's a word for all this.
What's that?
Downtime.
Downtime. And you can't predict this. You don't know that the thing's going to move 6 inches when you drop it off. Oh, but I did learn what you need to do is pull forward further so this doesn't happen.
So you can't drop it down disconnected to the car completely?
I haven't had a lot of success.
I thought that was the purpose of it.
I don't know. Maybe I do it wrong. I mean, the hitch does break, you know, does have a pin in it. You pull the pin and it'll pivot.
Well, yeah.
But I didn't like that. I don't know. I didn't like the way
I think
it
that's
worked.
The point of it.
I don't know. So next,
it's the coupler. Is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Whenever you come out fishing with me, I'll show you and maybe you'll have a different idea.
I don't know if
idea,
I want a part of that goat rodeo.
All right. Back at the ranch, moving on. We were talking about fishing styles.
Yes. So you have on this list no flasher, and that's what I do when I leave my flasher at home or I forget to charge it.
I've done that.
And you're just sad. You go fishing because you're like, I can do this. We used to. And then you're just out there and you just stare at the hole and think sad thoughts.
I know. I've done it before. And then my brother-in-law has a spare one, so he brings it with in case I forget mine.
Smart man. Now, some people sight fish. Like, in shallow, clear water, they'll drill a hole and they'll look down the hole, and you can see the bottom, and you can see fish or no fish, so they sight fish.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's a thing.
I've never done it successfully.
No.
It's like unicorns. I hear about it, but I've never seen it done I've never even had the opportunity where that would even make sense.
Okay. It does make sense to me, more than unicorns, but you live in your own magical world sometimes, and that's okay.
But like, when I go fishing, maybe early ice when there's been no snow.
Yes.
You can see through the ice. I mean, maybe we're talking like you hit that magical day when that happens. But generally there's snow on there, or the ice is thick, or it's not clear, or, I mean, I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it with 2 feet of ice.
No, and you can't do it in a deep water unless the water is really clear. Yeah. Which most lakes I fished there's not.
Not
very
around
clear.
The cities.
Well, but even like some of the other lakes we fish, you know, they're stained, like Lake of the Woods, or there's bog, true. Or there's. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it happens to me very often. Actually, Devil's Lake was pretty clear. I could see down there pretty far, but I still didn't see any fish. But when I wrote this, I was actually read that there was a guide who said he prefers a camera over a flasher, which was different than anything I would think, because I just can't imagine, you know, not being able to hole hop and, you know, stick my sonar in there really quick and look and move on to the next hole, where a camera, I feel like you drill a hole, go down 20 feet, which takes some time, look around, and then pull it back up. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I'd love to hear people that do this, but it seems the cameras seem clunkier than a flasher to me.
Yeah, I think it's got to be just real specific to the type of fishing that individual does or the types of waters that he fishes.
Right.
You know, if you're fishing clear trout stream, you know, trout lakes and stuff like that, or really sandy bottom clear lakes, I suppose that maybe the camera in a high quality camera, not these $200 jobbers that work good sometimes, but the really high dollar cameras.
Yeah.
I would imagine maybe that works better.
Well, that kind of gets to back to my original point about fishing styles. There isn't really a right or wrong fishing style, right? I mean, every time we talk about a fishing style here, we're saying, well, in this condition, that would work. Mm-hmm. Sight fishing would work in that condition. So you can never have enough gear because you always have to be able to fish different ways.
Absolutely.
Right? And so these are just styles. So it's not like no flasher camera or sight fishing is superior or worse than any other style. It's just what is Mother Nature giving you? What are the conditions? You know, what makes sense? I mean, sight fishing when there's 3 feet of snow on the ice, not so good.
Yeah, and time of year and temperature has a lot to do with it. I mean, early ice, basically an axe, a fishing pole, and a box of jigs.
Yeah, Dave said he uses a drill and an axe.
But yeah, but I mean, if you're talking 3-4 inches of ice, a good sharp hand axe, and a fishing pole, and a box of jigs in your pocket,
right?
You know, you're in a bucket maybe to sit on or drag fish around. I mean, you're in like Flynn. But this time of year, on a big lake, that probably wouldn't cut the mustard unless you're just really tough. Just really tough.
I think we'd still be at Devil's Lake trying
just
to chop a
chopping,
hole in the ice.
Chopping and more chopping. Yeah, I mean, you'd have big arms.
Then it'd be like, all right, let's try a different spot.
We didn't get a fish. Let's move. Yeah. Let's see. So we're talking about like the amount of gear that you bring. You know, what some people they consider light is different than what, you know, maybe I just described, where it's just a box of jigs in one rig. And an axe or a small hand auger. And for some people, light means, you know, they're insulated portable compared to their double axle Yeti fish house.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
light is relative, but I do think, Jay, even though as the owner of a wheelhouse, the less stuff you have, the faster you can move and the more area you can cover. And you can, you know, probably catch more fish. So, I prefer the lightest you can go.
Yep.
I mean, if it's 40 degrees outside, my favorite super light is I have a small otter sled. I have my rod bag, which is, you know, a fishing pole and a jig box, basically, and a small tripod chair. I know that's not what you like.
It cuts off circulation to delicate areas.
Yes, well, it doesn't do that for me, so I must be special.
You're just built differently.
I guess so. Enjoy your water.
Mm-hmm. I sure am.
An ice auger. I still bring an ice auger. I could see going lighter if I had endless amounts of money, but my 25-pound ice auger is fine. You know, those drill deals for those times is probably even better. But, yeah, I think the less stuff you have, the faster you can be.
And for some people, it's about comfort. Like, they want to be out there, and they will put up with more gear because they wish to be comfortable, because they're not into being uncomfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I think you know, that's important for those people. They're going to want to be warm. They're not going to want to sit in a bucket. They want to put their feet on a piece of foam, and they don't want to be in the wind. And so that's where the houses come into play. I think I've got my rig right now boiled down to about as slim as I can. I used to use an otter stipe sled when it was warm out, but now I still just use my clam. I have a clam Nanook, and it's so light. When I throw out one of the chairs, just that sled, and it's non-insulated, and so it's the sled, the chair, an ice scoop, one rod holder, my hummingbird, my auger, backpack, and rod bag. And I need to add lighters to that.
Lighters.
My heater. But I just have that Mr. Heater, right? Mr. Heater cooker, which is super light.
Yep.
And it runs on propane, and my auger's propane. So all that is that. That's what I take out. And I guess if I was going to sit in a bucket, I would still need something to drag the auger around in. So I might as well bring the sled. That's where I go.
If we go to the other end of the spectrum, which is the wheelhouse. So this is like, I want to hang out. I want to catch some fish, but I'm going to kind of park it. It's a lot of work to move that thing around. So, you know, you can move it around, and it's not like you can't, but you're not going to move it around 10 times a day, right?
How long do you think it takes you to get that thing rolling?
I don't know. It takes me a while. I would say from when I drive onto the ice, I mean, or when I get to my spot, I bet you it takes me 20 minutes.
Okay. So, well, that's not bad.
But that's me. I've never fished with anybody that helped me. I always go with my kids. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is Jeff doing everything.
Well, that's not bad at all. Does it take longer to hook up and get out of there then?
It takes a little longer to crank up than down.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't have the fancy... There's ones that are hydraulic and you just push a button.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Okay.
But you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes. But really, once you do it, it's not that hard. And... if you wanted to move it like around the lake, if you had a different spot, you wouldn't have to take anything out of it, right? You'd just kind of make sure everything is going to fall out and just move. I mean, it's not that bad. But if you had two guys, one guy to crank each side, it would take it wouldn't take very long.
Yeah, you could be moving. And the snow is probably the kicker with those things, right? Of course, yes. With most things it is. Even in any setup, snow depth, I think, is the number one killer to it all.
I enjoy the social aspect of fishing, and so I like to take other people with me. You, I, Ole, Dave, we're going to fish no matter what, and we're going to fish outside or whatever we have to do, right? But if I say, hey, wouldn't you love to go ice fishing with me to a random buddy? They're not going to put up with the stuff we put up with, right? They're not going to want to do that stuff. So I think I like the social aspect part where you can be like, hey, just meet me with your car and we'll hang out, have a beer and catch some fish, right? So
So when I was younger, I never liked to fish really much unless I was with somebody, and now I really enjoy going by myself.
Yeah.
And I think, and I do enjoy going with other people, but I mean, I'll usually ask somebody, and sometimes I'm never really disappointed if they say no. If they say yes, it's like, okay, that's cool, let's go. But if they say no, I'm not like crushed, and then I stay home. I'm like, oh, okay. At least I tried to be social, and then I go. And I think fishing style maybe has a lot to do with that. I move around a lot.
Yep.
And so when you're by yourself, you never have to ask.
No.
You just go. Like, I'm done. Yep. I'm gonna go sit somewhere else, and you don't have to negotiate. Well, what do you think? Oh, 5 more minutes. I don't know. Let's just keep trying, and you don't have to have any of that dialogue. And so for me, that helps me. I find it relaxing and to be that kind of solitary in those times.
Well, we kind of covered the light/portable. When I say portable, there's two kinds. Like the flip over kind is what you have, right, Jay?
Yep.
And so that's pretty portable. If I'm fishing in a spot, and I've actually thought about getting a one man.
Can I back you up a minute? Are we talking mobile or portable?
Well, I mean, if we're talking flip over, we're talking pretty mobile.
I know it's semantics, but I think that's important. So flip over shack to me is very mobile.
To a point.
Depends on how much gadgetry you have. For mine, I flip it over and I can go a couple hundred yards without in two minutes.
Right. And I think the one-mans are even more mobile like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think flip-overs can get to the three-man?
Well, let me go back. I can't cover 200 yards in 2 minutes, even walking on flat ground. Because I don't want to give misinformation.
Yes. Some of those big shacks, though, even the flip-over style, they can get pretty big where it takes a while to move.
Absolutely.
But like you're in a Nanook or a one-man or even like a little bigger two-man is okay, but you start getting into those three people, you know, you got to have a F-350 to pull it around.
Yeah. They get kind of it depends on how many, how much stuff you deploy on the inside.
True.
And that goes back to cameras and all that other gadgetry, too. I mean, it all, a minute here, a minute there, before you know it's 20 minutes every time you set her up and tear her down.
So we'll go more portable then to what I would call a hub shack, like that big hub shack I have. Mm-hmm. You can set it up, but I bet you it's not that much more time to put my wheelhouse up and down than it is one of those hub shacks.
I bet not. Yeah. I
mean, you can watch the videos where they pull out the hubs. That takes like 2 minutes, right? Not a big deal. But then you got to stake it down somehow.
You know, I've seen some really sweet setups with those hubs where people, for portability, for folks that aren't driving the big truck or don't want to spend the big money on a house, you know, where they get those nice 8x8 or whatever they are hub shacks and they put a floor in them, like a foam floor that they can slide in the back of their truck, and they're portable. They can move them wherever they want. I wouldn't call them mobile.
No.
But they can go from lake to lake and you know, from spot to spot. But, man, they get them comfortable in there. Some of them folks are just masters at outfitting those things.
Well, I saw one. I was out my wheelhouse earlier this year. Somebody had, like, the circus tent one like I have.
Yeah.
And they just left it out there. They just put a permanent tag on it, and that was their house.
Sure.
But they do make a floor for them now. Clam makes a floor for them. I don't know they're as nice as what you're talking, but... So the sleeper house was another kind of style I wanted to talk about. You know, we've rented these before, right? And I'm not talking about a wheelhouse, but like a sleeper house, which is usually like a rental. We've done those before.
Yep.
And we like doing that, again, for different style. We go to Hardwater, and we're pretty hardcore out there when, you know, snowmobiles and portables, and we go where we want to go. But usually the first night, you can't fish because you get up there in the dark, and you don't know where you're going, and... So, like, prior years, we've rented a sleeper house the first night so we can fish and hang out. That worked out pretty good.
Yeah, they do that for me mainly, and we'll get into that at the end of the show in the legend. There's that foreshadowing again.
Foreshadowing. All right. And then the last kind of one I wanted to talk about a little bit was, I call it day house, but it's also known as country club fishing. I call it country club fishing. So they have these on Lake of the Woods where you rent a cabin on shore, and it's a nice cabin. And then they have, people call them bombardiers, but basically they're giant tracked vehicles. You wander out to the beach in the morning and you hop in the back of the bombardier and they drive you out to a spot. And then you fish all day. And then at the end of the day, they come and get you and you go back. I mean, you could wear jeans and a t-shirt and do this, right?
Yeah. I like the twist that we saw in Devil's Lake in the Dakotas, these snow bears.
Oh, I know.
I mean, because that, you know, the trouble with a sleeper house is that you're there. Like, you get to this spot and there's no fish, but there you are. And you're there all day, and that would drive me nuts, like, and everybody around me. And those snow bears... You can do the country club fishing, right? You can go to your cabin, you can have a nice night's sleep and do whatever. And then in the morning, you load up in your little snow bear with your guide, and they just sneak around the lake looking for fish.
Yep.
I just think that's, I tell you what, if I ever come into some money, that's going to happen.
I support this, Jason.
Because that to me encompasses everything, right? You've got mobility, you've got comfort, you've got, I don't know, what else do you need?
So I'll bring my shack, You can bring the snow bear.
Yes.
And it's the perfect combination.
Yeah, I don't know what else you would need. Now, I did see during the going back to the Snowmageddon snowstorm thing we had, I saw a picture of a snow bear just stuck.
I know. I didn't think those things could get stuck.
It was very stuck. Yeah, big time stuck in the slush. It got buried in the slush. And boy, I think once you bury that thing, you're pretty buried. I don't know that you're getting out of that.
Because we saw them running around in 3 feet of snow like our snowmobiles without blinking an eye. They were just happy as could be out on Devils.
But there was no slush.
No.
That slush can kill anything.
Oh, we got our snowmobile stuck. Remember on Vermilion that one year?
Remind me. Oh, that's so miserable. Slush. I hate slush.
Dave's trailer made it 10 feet into the lake.
And it wasn't even buried. I mean, it just wasn't even the trailer's fault. It just was,
no.
It was a lot of things, but slush is terrible.
So I'm sure there's some fishing styles that we missed. Oh, the 5 gallon bucket, I guess that's as light as you can go. We kind of talked about that. I think the ultimate thing is there's lots of different ways and styles to fish, and the weather kind of dictates what you do. I mean, my wheelhouse is awesome when it's 20 below outside and you can just sit inside and still fish where you wouldn't be able to make it even in a, you know, outside. But, you know, on a nice day, it's kind of limiting.
Have you ever been in a spear house, Jeff?
Just that one time that we built one, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only time.
That didn't work very well. But
no.
No, I, when I was a kid, my Uncle Mark had he lived on an island in Minnesota at some lake.
Oh, yeah. We've heard stories about this.
And he had a spear.
We should get Ron to tell us that story someday.
We should. Well, we could call Mark and he could tell us. But I remember that was the first time I was ever in a spear house was on that lake. And it was a super kind of a shallow, more of a shallow lake. And it was, I don't know how old I was, probably 7, 8. And it was just really, maybe younger. It was just really cool. You could see the fish swimming around down there and the northerns cruising through. It was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And it was an old wood, you know, hand-built spear house thing.
Well, we'll have to ask Andy about that, you know, from Lake of the Woods, Andy, because he was guiding for spear fishing, wasn't he?
I don't know. Was he?
I think he was. So that would have been pretty cool to see that. We tried to spear fish, but I've never actually done it where I saw a fish in the hole.
Yeah, we need to come back to that sometime, I think, the spear fishing.
All right, well, we're getting towards the end here. It might be a little shorter than a normal episode, but I think we're ready for the legend, Jay.
Oh, this is one of my... I look back, and I don't think we've told this story before. And if we have, I apologize. Several times we've alluded to the fact that I am a kind of a get-up-and-get-going kind of fisher person. I don't like to sleep until 10 and kind of get out of bed and have a cup of coffee. And I don't want to get up in the morning and get going, you know, and not this getting slow moving mornings are not my thing. And part of that is because there's years I don't get to fish as much as I want. So when I get to Minnesota or up north on these trips, I'm ready to go. We used to, years ago, back when there was some spit and vinegar in these boys yet, we'd get up and get going. As soon as we got there, we'd fish. We'd get to Stone Lake, and we would fish that night. And we'd fish till 2 in the morning. Retrospectively, that was because the cabin wasn't above freezing yet and wouldn't be for several hours, if at all, because it was...
Maybe there's a frost line in the cabin.
There was a frost line, and we were waiting for the animals to vacate so we could we could move in there. But, you know, that's what my expectations were. So we went to... We got into this place. Was it Garvey Cabin, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Savannah
Portage State Park.
Yep.
And we got in late, and I'm like, guys, let's go fishing. And they're like, it's too late. It's dark and blah, you know, all the nonsense they say. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll go first thing in the morning then. And they're like, yeah, we'll get up early. I'm like, okay. And then, of course, you sit around and you drink, and everybody gets to bed late. And then, so I set my alarm, and I'm up. 4 o'clock. I'm like, let's go fishing. And I try to get everybody up, and everybody's like, it's too early. Go back to sleep. And they're all hollering at me. And so I lay back down, and I wait about a half hour. I'm like, okay, it's 4:30. Let's get going. And no dice. Nobody was moving. So this was before cell phones, and maybe we had cell phones, but none of them had service where we were. And back in those days, remember your phone had to have service to know what time it was. And And so there was one or two clocks in the whole place. And this had one big, basically, bedroom, right? We were all in, like, the same room. I'm laying there, and I'm like, okay. So they all went back to sleep, and I snuck over, and I turned the clocks ahead 2 hours. And I waited. Maybe 3 hours. It was a lot. And I waited till it got daylight. As soon as it got daylight, it wasn't even daylight yet. And I'm like, guys, it's 8 o'clock. Let's get going. And I'm like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. Okay, oh, yeah, Jason. So everybody got up, got them all breakfast quick. We got out fishing. You know, we fished 3-4 hours. And they're like, God, it's probably
lunchtime. Probably lunchtime.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think the timeline on this. But basically, I think I might have turned them ahead more than that. I think I might have turned them ahead to like 10 o'clock, Jeff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you guys thought it was time for supper. It was getting almost supper time. Oh, my gosh.
I don't remember it being that long.
Yeah, and it was almost lunch. It was just a little bit after lunchtime. You guys thought it was like 4 or 5 o'clock, and it was actually like 1.
Wow.
And so... So I had them all going, and it was the longest day ever. It was so awesome because they didn't know what time it was. And I knew that it was way, way earlier than what they thought. So it was a pretty good gag. What do you think, Jeff? What do you remember? Is my memory reasonably accurate here?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it was that far ahead, but I remember it happening, and we did not realize it for many, many hours because we were fishing, so once you get out fishing, you don't pay attention to what time it is. And I do think that you can only do that once.
Yeah, that's a one-shot
deal.
That was
a one-time thing. Because now every time we double check.
Well, they all have cell phones now. But, I mean, it really... I think I was in awe a good part of the morning about that nobody knew. Like, that I had completely pulled one over on you guys. Like...
Yep.
Completely.
Yep.
I had a good trip that trip. I had another good one with Sean on that trip too that maybe I'll tell some other time.
All right.
That's a legend.
That's a legend. All right, Jay, we can wrap it up. Another good show. Episode 11, I think we'll at least get one more or two more in the books here before the end of the season, even though Walleye is closed. We still have some fishing to do.
Well, I would remark that Walleye is not closed where I live.
Oh, it is closed in Minnesota. Well, parts of Minnesota.
Yeah. You just have to, you have to want it, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to work on that this next week.
All right, sounds good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Special thanks this week to Trapper Shep for letting us use the Fishing Blues as the Hardwater Fishing Show theme song.
Bet your life, your sweet wife, I'll catch more fish than you. Mini fish bite, if you got coupe, yeah, here's a little tip I'd like to relay. Mini fish bite, if you got coupe, yeah, I'm going fishing, my baby going fishing, I'm going fishing too. Big brother about to run me out of my mind, say, can I go fishing with you? I took him on down to the fishing hole. Now what do you think he'd do? Pull the catfish by the bottom of the pond. Now he's laughing, jumping, he was real gone. Yeah, mini fish bite, if you got coupe, yeah, I'ma go fishing, my brother going fishing, I'ma go fishing too. Baby, put them in the pan, cook them till they're nice and brown. You can catch them, release them out that trophy fish up just to keep them around. Any fish bite, if you got coupe, yeah, here's a little tip. I like